Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of December 9, 2022. This week we pray for our nation and the world, that people in all nations and places would turn to Christ, and for those recovering from COVID and other illnesses. This weekend we have a little bit of a shortened podcast, so we begin with our first reading, which is the reading for our discussion, Matthew 25. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. When I have been to weddings over the years, when I have performed weddings over the years, I think the guests are happy for the couple and appreciate the gravity of what is taking place. But they are also ready for the feast to come. Ancient traditions involved long wedding celebrations lasting for days. When Dr. Jeff Pulse came to speak to our pastor's conference in spring, he comes out of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, he mentioned that the primary way that Israel saw themselves in relation to God was the wedding contract. Israel itself, the people, was God's bride, and God was the bridegroom. This thread carries all through Scripture. There were times throughout the Old Testament that the bride was unfaithful. Yet God keeps his promises whether humanity is faithful or not. That imagery of bride and bridegroom carries from early Israel all through the New Testament. It is one of these golden threads that Dr. Pulse talked about, which runs through all of Scripture. It's no wonder, then, that Jesus uses so many parables that deal with weddings. And of course, his first miracle of changing water into wine occurred at a wedding. There were 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet a bridegroom. The occasion is nighttime, hence the lamps. I have a first century lamp. And the thing about lamps like these, like most first century pottery, they're very durable. That's why you'll find them intact. They have stood the test of time. And the way it works is it is big enough that it will just fit in the palm of your hand. It would sit flatly in your hand, and there was oil in it. You put it in the receptacle. There's a little hole in the top that you put the oil in. And then, so that was for filling the lamp. And then there's a spout in the front of the lamp out of which would have come the wick for the lamp. It's not very big at all. So it is no surprise one would need to bring extra oil. Some of the virgins assume the bridegroom will come quickly. Others are prepared for a long wait and delay. The ones who came prepared brought extra oil. They all slept, but when they heard at midnight that the bridegroom was coming and all the virgins trimmed their lamps to get ready for the groom's coming, the foolish ones were not prepared at all. In the colder months of the year, and even in the spring, when there were unseasonably warm days, my father would always warn me, never leave the house without a coat. The weather can turn cold on a dime, and you need to be prepared. And that's these foolish virgins. They are unprepared. They did not have enough oil. The wise ones told them to go to the dealer and buy. I can't imagine anyone selling anything that late at night, but they went. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came and the other virgins went into the marriage feast and the door was shut. Here's the worst part. The others came back and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Christ commends us to watchfulness and preparation. We should be ready for when Christ the bridegroom comes. Are our hearts and minds ready? Have we put sin out of our lives? Or is there some habit, some troubling thing we are doing that separates us from a good relationship with God? Would we be ready if Jesus returned right now? Would we be ready if we went to the Lord right now? Lately, we have heard of people passing away suddenly, even young people. It is terrible and troubling when this kind of thing happens, but in our faith lives, the best thing we can do is be prepared. The foolish virgins were not prepared when the bridegroom returns. Jesus is the groom. The church is his bride. In catechetical terms, we speak of the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is all those who gather for worship, but the invisible church consists of all believers. This is something that only God can see because only he knows what is going on in a person's heart. The next parable Jesus tells is about the talents. One person receives from his master 5, another 2, and another 1 talent. The study notes of the Lutheran Bible point out that a talent was a Greek monetary unit which could be either in silver or in gold. Now, I may have said in the past that it was about a year's wages, but actually it's much more than that. A silver talent, according to the notes of the Lutheran Study Bible, is worth about 7,300 denarii, was worth about 7,300 denarii, with a denarii equaling a day's wage. As I was calculating here, that would be about 20 years worth of wages, and that's a lot of money. A gold talent could be worth 30 times as much. A gold talent would be like 600 years of a day's wages. That is money most of us wouldn't be used to thinking about, but here the master gives each of these persons this incredible sum of money to be steward over. The one with 5 and the one with 2 each invested and doubled their talents. The one with 1 took the master's money and went and buried it. The ones who doubled what they received, the master said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And they were given greater responsibility. But the one who buried his came back sheepishly and had not such a favorable view of the master. He said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here you have what is yours." The master saw this servant as wicked and lazy. The master said that he should have then invested with the bankers and gathered some interest. He said, "Take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This was an incredible opportunity for sure, and the lazy servant squandered that opportunity. We can see this parable both in regards to the talents that God has given us in life, and certainly in relation to the issue of salvation. God has given us all good gifts. Some of us use them to the fullest, and some of us have squandered them, buried them, like the wicked servant. We can probably think of areas where we did quite well and areas where we squandered opportunities. In regard to salvation, when we think about this, it gets a little scarier. Have we always cared for those around us? Have we always shared the gospel, gathering in God's people? Have we always gone after every opportunity? Have we given of the gifts that God has given us? Now, just remember, it is not these things that earn salvation. But we also know that when a person believes, the fruits of that belief can be seen. When I believe that God is the source of all gifts, I will give freely because I also know that He gives freely and can easily produce more abundance in my life. Now, that is not the reason that I give. I give because it is an act of faith. In the same respect, if I am not trusting in God and see Him as a hard master instead of our good and faithful God and the gracious giver of all gifts, then I might bury what God has given. And though gold cannot rot in the ground, there are plenty of things that can. Do we bury God's gifts only for them to rot away and dig them up uselessly later? How bitter is that consideration? The master represents God. God commands the worthless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is an analogy for hell. Now, the parable becomes quite scary. When we rely on Christ, when we trust in Him, living in faith, He gives us salvation. And instead of the wicked servant's reward, we instead receive eternal life. If you are that five-talent kind of person, always living and serving to your fullest, that's wonderful. Well done. But what if you are a little closer to that one-talent kind of person? What if you worry about being that one-talent person? First of all, using our talents and gifts to our fullest will not get us into heaven. Only Christ does that. And so we rely completely and fully on His mercy. Only Jesus saves. Someone who refuses to believe or knows that God is at work in this world, but is at full enmity against Him, that is really who that one talent person is that Jesus mentions. If you feel like you have buried your talent, we are at that time in December currently where we are in a new church year, and you have the opportunity also to reassess the previous one. If there was more you felt you could do, be cognizant and work toward that in the new year. This goes for the talents we use every day in our work and daily life, but especially for the talents that we use in service to our faith in God. Do what you are able, whether it be serving in some way in worship or working to help the congregation in some way in an office or helping care for your church and its people. Tell others about Christ and share encouragement in Christ with the downtrodden. Perhaps you will serve a charitable organization in service to Christ. If you are at this point physically incapable, you can always pray. You can pray at any time of the day or night, and that goes for anyone of any age. Prayers move mountains. The last section of chapter 25 concerns the final judgment, Christ's second coming. Lutheran theology suggests an amillennial view of the end times. And so when Christ comes, He comes to judge the living and the dead and to make all things new. There's no concern about, you know, a millennium and things happening before or after that millennium. It's just when it's time, Christ will come and He will judge the living and the dead. He will bring His angels and sit on His glorious throne. This is the throne of David that will be established forever. As Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So there was the stump of Jesse, which was dead. And Jesse was David's father. The royal house of David was a stump. But when Christ came, new shoots were coming forth from that stump. The sheep in this parable that Jesus talks about will be those who go into Christ's glory. The goats will be separated from them and be sent into eternal shame. The sheep go to the right, the goats to the left. The right was the position of favor, the left was not. And that seems to be true in other parts of the ancient world. If you look at Latin, So if you look at the word right in Latin and its associations, it's dextera, and that means right hand. And dexter is a word which means clever, favorable, on the right side. You can go to Google Translate and find this. But dexter, right, is associated with positive things. The word left is not so positive. The word for left is sinister. Left, wrong, unfavorable, those are all meanings of that Latin word. And the other thing is that if you're ambidextrous, it is like you have two right hands. So that that is associated with positive things there, that word right. At any rate, the ones on the right are favorable, the ones on the left are not. Jesus makes that distinction between them. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this is what God had always intended for those who love him. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. To make clear, it is faith, not good works, that justify. So it is not that these works earned the faithful their place in heaven. That's not what this is about. That was earned by Jesus and claimed through faith in Christ. Their good works flowed out of that belief, out of already being justified. I believe it was Gibbs in his commentary, Jeff Gibbs, in his commentary, who pointed out that this is not just about feeding the hungry and, in my words, helping out the homeless and the downtrodden, which are certainly all things that we should be doing, but this is about how these folks treated those who have served God as pastors, missionaries, evangelists, etc. Think of the apostles. They depended on those they visited to care for them, and this is what this is about. Think of early Christians who landed in jail, early missionaries that traveled throughout the ancient world. They stayed with people who cared for them. When they were older and without worldly goods and wanting, there were those who cared for them, who looked after them, visited them when they were sick. They often did so because they loved God and did not seek out compensation, nor did they give a second thought to all the good things that they were doing in service of God's servants. That is why they are surprised when God tells them to go into the good things. On the other hand, the goats did none of these things but despise God's servants. They earned their contempt and have received the due punishment for sin. As we consider the end of this chapter, this is our Scrooge moment. The future is in our hands. We can either care for God's people and live in service of him, or we can bury our talents, blame it on the harsh master, and neglect the master's servants. Obviously, the last options are not what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in faith, use the gifts he has given to his glory, and to know, above all, that he is faithful, merciful, and gives us salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, which Christ himself has earned for us by his sacrificial death on the cross on our behalf. And he is risen and lives, and he will bring us to himself. God will not disappoint us. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we go through this life, teach us to live in faith and in trust towards you, to know that you are merciful in every way and that you care for us. Help us to share the faith you have given us with others, that they might know your mercy and grace and the salvation you give in your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. we continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for the people of our nation and the people of our world, especially the ones that do not yet know you. We pray that people in every place and every nation would come to know you, to turn to your Son Jesus, and to know the salvation that is in him. Lord, we pray for those who are recovering from COVID, for those who require healing from injuries, from illnesses, from cancer, for those who are rehabilitating, we pray that you'd strengthen them and give them new strength according to your will. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verse this week is the result that we would all want from our lives. We who have trusted in Christ, we want to hear these words, and it comes from Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." All of our readings, all of our scriptures have come from the English Standard Version of Scripture. Our hymn for this week, "Savior of the Nations Come," is actually not completely a public domain hymn. The text and tune are in the public domain for verses 1 to 2, but verses 4, 5, and 8 are copyright 1978 Concordia Publishing House, and verses 3, 6, and 7 are copyright 2006 Concordia Publishing House, and so I wanted to mention the credits for that. So I'm going to share this hymn, and of course I note the credits there.
Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh. Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall. God of God, yet fully man, his heroic course began. God the Father was his source, back to God he ran his course. Into hell his road went down, back then to his throne and crown. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won. By your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul. From the manger newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light faith now abides. Glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son, our King. Glory to the Spirit.